Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining us today is Jess Colson. After a successful collegiate softball career at Elms College, Jess started NWS Fast Pitch, a softball training company that helps student athletes between the ages of 8 to 23 develop pitching skills, build confidence through athletics, and train the mental side of the game of softball. Additionally, Jess is the host of the Post Game Amateurs podcast, which features bi-weekly interviews with women who reflect on their athletic careers, from early recreation leagues through college, and how the lessons learned through sports have impacted their careers and lives. Thanks for joining us today, Jess.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashley. Happy to be here.
My pleasure. Please share more with our audience about you and what you do.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, I've been kind of in the sports industry all my life. It started very early on with my mom as my t-ball coach, and kind of I got bit by this bug of really wanting to be involved in athletics. So throughout high school, I was really drawn to high school sport and classes that involved kind of the business side of athletics as well. And it wasn't until college where I had the opportunity to major in sport management with a minor in coaching that really kind of grabbed me, and I think right by the shoulders, and made me fall in love with the idea. But it was really hard, you know, to come out of college and find a job in the industry I was passionate about. And I've taken some different avenues in my career, which maybe we'll talk a little bit more about later. But I'm very happy to be involved as the owner of NWS, and through my podcast, the Post Game Amateurs podcast, to kind of connect with women about their sport journey and see how it's kind of led them down the road that they're on.
I love that. And so first, let's start with talking about NWS. So how would you say your collegiate softball career led you to start your softball training company?
Yeah, so I had a really wonderful time at Elms College, very successful career over there. But when I graduated, I was really hungry for a way to stay involved. It seemed like such a major part of my life just ended really abruptly, and that didn't seem fair in a lot of ways. So I actually became a pitching coach first with NWS, which was under different ownership at the time. But a full circle moment for me, because that's the company I trained with growing up. So it was kind of like this return home in a way, which was super special. And then years later, the owners were moving out of state, and I had the opportunity to buy the business and kind of bring my own culture to it and put my own spin on it. And so now working with athletes as young as 8 who are really just like dipping their toe into the pool of getting involved with softball and the seriousness of training, but also, you know, the fun around it as well. And then being a sounding board for those who are interested in continuing on to the collegiate level, you know, how do we apply for scholarships or make skill videos so that coaches know what you have to offer, get signed up for all those different showcases and things like that. So it's given me a real way to give back, I think, to the community that's given me so much.
Absolutely. And I think it's so fun that you had gone through NWS. And so like you mentioned, that whole full circle moment, did you know that one day, or maybe have the passion to start a softball training company? Or was it something that almost just fell into your lap and you're like, I think this might be something I want to do?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of both, actually. Mm-hmm. I've always been a people person. I've enjoyed connecting with people and getting to know them and their journeys. So when the opportunity came around, it just felt like a natural progression. You know, I had been building relationships with student athletes in the community already, just not as, you know, with my owner hat on or lead instructor hat. So it felt like a natural progression, but I will say it felt like some serendipity there as well, some divine intervention.
Absolutely. And so I always love speaking with people who have purchased companies, because I find that really interesting with the whole process of buying a company that already exists compared to starting one from scratch. And so I'd love to hear what that process was like in terms of maybe logistics or loopholes you might have gotten thrown that you weren't expecting, or even interesting things that have happened.
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting experience, and one that it's been very rewarding, but certainly had its challenges too. And I think the main reason for purchasing for me was name and brand recognition. Yeah. NWS was established. You know, I'm 30 years old. I was 11 when I started taking lessons. So it's been around a long time. and folks know what it's about. So that brand and name recognition really stuck with me. It's they have their own travel team side of the business too. So if folks are out in the community during the summertime, they may see NWS 16U playing some softball tournaments. But I think, you know, as you know, with your business as well, like getting yourself registered and all the tax information, those were some like learning curves in that first year where I definitely learned a lot. And to be able to rely on my resources around me and the connections I've made to help me through that process.
And you just mentioned a really key point of any part of business ownership and entrepreneurship, which is building connections, because it's really, I always say, it's not always what you know, but who you know can really end up bringing you far. And especially like the whole idea of meeting someone, you not only kind of get access to and make a connection with that person, but now you're kind of not non-directly getting access to their network, because now they might share your name with people they know and so on and so forth. So it's kind of interesting to think about almost the multiple degrees that come with that.
It's so true. And I think, you know, word of mouth marketing is the best form. It's somebody who's giving you that true experience with a business or a service organization. And that's really where I started. You know, I had some name recognition. I was a new owner coming in and people were trying to see what I was made of essentially early on. Like, was I going to be as good as the previous owners? You know, what was I going to bring to the table? And here I am almost 5 years later of owning the company, and it's grown exponentially. I've hired staff to help facilitate more lessons with folks. And, you know, maybe I've done a little bit of it backwards. I'll have to say, Ashley, I'm now just like rebranding a website to get it up and running. But yeah, word of mouth and fielding those calls, like in my personal email and personal phone, has just become huge. And so now building out that website to really be a tool for me to kind of funnel, you know, inquiries in a little bit more. I'm really excited for the future.
It's the whole idea of, if you're already getting this much interest now without really having an online presence, like imagine how much things will grow once you really do have that foundation online.
Exactly.
And with the connections that you built in the community, have you also focused on doing any type of network with professionals who might serve the same audience or have maybe complementary clients in terms of like physical therapists or anything like that?
I would say that's an avenue I'm looking into now. Another source has been, though, some local town recreation leagues needing some additional support around softball skills. And many of those leagues have really dedicated parents who are stepping up to volunteer and coach those teams, but are needing more support for some of those more intricate skills. So I'm starting to reach out to the city of Holyoke. We have an upcoming youth recreation clinic coming up, and the city of Wilbraham as well. So it's kind of reaching a network I didn't originally set out to reach, but is really exciting nonetheless.
Absolutely. And I can also imagine that having gone through NWS yourself since the age of 11, that gives you a bunch of credibility with people who are looking to sign up their children to get training and things like that. And especially it's helpful to know that someone has gone through this program. And so you get it and you understand it, and especially having your collegiate career as well.
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. And I always, you know, in any business, somebody who's able to be in your shoes, I think, just adds a lot of credibility, you know. And so I've really appreciated people who are saying, hey, we've seen you do this and our kid wants to do this too. Can you kind of help us navigate this process? And I do lean into my experience quite a bit, and I find it super rewarding.
Absolutely. And so when you were kind of going back to your softball career, when you were playing at collegiate level, did you ever hope or think that you might go past that into more like professional or more advanced career? Or were you just kind of knowing that collegiate would be the end game?
I think for me, collegiate was the end game. You know, I started my career at a Division II institution. I was on scholarship. It was a great team, but the school academically didn't offer what I was looking for. So it was a hard decision to leave that space and that financial support that I was receiving in college. You know, I think of myself, I'm still paying off student loans, and, you know, the student loans many folks are facing, many folks who probably listen to this podcast. But I decided to go D3 to have a better collegiate balance. The competition level and the training level was still very intense, but I was able to see my family more and was able to work a part-time job to support that kind of financial loss that I'd experienced once I lost the scholarship.
Yeah, and I think that's really admirable that you mentioned that is making a difficult decision that you know will end up paying off one way some point in the future, but it can definitely be so tough kind of going through that decision-making process and wondering which one is really the right way to go.
Definitely.
And so as you're focusing on individuals who are playing sports between the ages of 8 to 23, why do you think it's important for people of all ages to be involved in sports, whether it's for leisure or professionalism?
Oh, that's a great question. I think sport provides a safe space for so many people. You know, you may be experiencing challenges in your life that maybe you're not able to talk with your friends and family about, but when you're stepping into sport and that's a space that you've made connections in and you feel supported by your coaches and your teammates, I think it just, it for me, it's always been like a mental health thing that I do for myself.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, go for a walk with a friend or go to the gym and work out or do a Zumba class, you know, something to stay connected physically when your mind may be all over the place, I think is a huge, huge thing for folks.
I totally agree. My thing is running. So that's what I'll do every morning is running. And I say it's my non-negotiable is moving my body. And it's because I notice that when I do, I just feel so much better. Like I'm able to relieve my stress. I'm able to be more productive, have more energy. Like there's just so many benefits that come from it. And I've noticed time after time again on the days where I might have a really busy to-do list and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to skip the run today because I need to focus on work. Whenever I do that, it's always a wicked unproductive day for me. And I always end up almost being like counterproductive. It's not very beneficial for me. And so it just kind of always reinforces the importance of moving your body and really investing in your self-care and overall health and wellness.
Totally. And I applaud you for being a runner. That is something I never could grasp. My best friend is a runner. She has run marathons and God love you all who do that. I move my body differently and that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really important point too, is that to just find what you enjoy, because really that's what it comes down to. If you don't enjoy it, you might not stick with it. And so when you really start to feel good about how you're moving your body and find an activity that you feel really passionate about, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. And I almost find, you know, coaching now kind of gives me that similar high. Like I have a current 40-hour full-time job outside of these two roles that we're talking about today. And I had a coworker say to me once, don't you want to just go home after a 40-hour week and not have to go do one extra thing? And I honestly think no. You know, if I didn't have this in my life, I don't think I would feel as fulfilled. I really feel like I'm making an impact, and kind of having that outlet outside of work, I guess, really makes it for me.
I love that perspective. And it's exactly how I feel as well. Like with my marketing agency, that's like my full-time thing. But with Massachusetts Business Network, this has been the passion that I've really been able to use to like scratch my itch, as they say, where like you feel so passionate about something and you just want to get involved in it. And I think it's a really great way to just kind of ensure that you're still filling your cup in that sense and doing the things that are important to you outside of work. And I mean, I don't always love saying the phrase like, if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work, because I think it does feel like work still in a sense, but you can still be fully invested in what you're doing, but also still feel really passionate about it as well.
Absolutely. We are speaking the same language.
And so another thing that you do as well, which we mentioned at the beginning, is the podcast. And so I'd love if you could share with our listeners how that idea came about, what it's focused on, how you find your guests, all of the good stuff.
Yeah, so the podcast is funny. It was born in the pandemic, you know, right in the heat of isolation, I think. I was searching for a way to stay connected to folks. And it really started, you know, from me wanting to reconnect with my own network. So a lot of the initial guests in the first season are people very close to me. But it's so funny, and maybe you find this too, Ashley, when you have your set of questions you're going to interview somebody about. But something else always rises to the top. And it's just such a unique perspective each time you do it, that it really just filled me up in a time where I was feeling the isolation like many people during that time. So Early on, I was really reaching out to those friends and family to say, hey, I know you had a great collegiate experience. You know, you played a sport in college. You're in this career field. Can we talk a little bit more about that? And people were really receptive to it. I don't think we get to reflect on our college years in that sense, especially now that, you know, we're older adults in the working world. So it was really nice to hear stories from people I hold so dear. And learn more about them too. Honestly, I knew them up until a certain point and maybe only know one facet of them, but to kind of dig deeper and get into those levels is really special.
Absolutely. And you totally hit the nail on the head too. And you mentioned about having a set of questions and then you really get into the conversation. You're like, oh, this is so good. I'm just going to totally like veer off course.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite types of conversations where you feel like you don't even have to refer back to the questions because the conversation is just flowing so easily and so nicely that it's almost like chatting with a friend. Yeah. And I think that's one of the best things about podcasting is just you meet people and it feels like you've always known each other in some sense. And it's just so interesting that it could actually be your first time meeting, but just having that connection with someone who has similar interests and backgrounds and history and stuff like you, it's really gratifying.
It really is. And I've been most surprised by, I think, people's vulnerability. You know, I've been in a few seasons so far, and even people I don't know as well, like really willing to go into some heavy stuff, you know, around eating disorders and body image and depression and anxiety. And it's never like a pressure situation, but I feel so grateful that people feel comfortable in that space to really share in the hopes of reaching a listener who maybe is experiencing something similar.
Exactly. And that's what's so powerful about storytelling is that the stories you share are helping someone who's currently going through it and able to support them. And especially with someone who might not think there's anyone who gets it or who understands it, they might listen to that episode and be like, oh my gosh, this person totally knows this is exactly how I feel. And that's a really great connection to have as well between the guest and the listener, not only just the guest and the host, but the guest and the listener who might be listening to that podcast even time after that, months, weeks, years, whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
And how do you go about finding your podcast guests? Because I know you mentioned you kind of started with friends and family members who you knew had a collegiate career. How have you been able to source guests outside of your current network? That's something I personally feel like I could be better at is just reaching people I don't know. And so I always love asking people, like, how do you do it? How do you find the right fit?
You know, it's similar to something you said earlier. It's about who you know, right? So I've been getting a lot more referrals as the podcast kind of grows and more people are listening. I'll have, you know, colleagues from previous positions say, hey, I think you should talk to so-and-so. Let me introduce you. And like you just did for me with one of your friends I'm hoping to have on my show soon. But I have not hit the nail on the head yet. I think that's an area for growth for me as well. But again, kind of circling back, I guess, to that theme of word of mouth is really a powerful thing, and trying to harness that for what it's worth is something I want to tap into more.
Absolutely. And a really interesting component of your podcast that I was like, oh, that's so cool when you had shared it with me is the fact that collegiate sports, even just sports in general, can really influence people's careers and their lives and their professional journeys. And so I'd love if you could share maybe things that you've found just from your own experience or from the guests that you've brought onto your show and really seeing how the sports and professional lives are really intertwined in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think the one that kind of sticks out and comes to mind first is that teamwork atmosphere that you get when you're playing a team sport. Maybe some other sports don't have that as much, but when people are graduating and kind of are looking out for that first job out of college, I'm finding that a lot of my guests are asking more about company culture. They're asking about opportunities to collaborate. You know, I think they're not looking for isolation and kind of working on their own, and the ability to feed off of other people all working toward the same goal is something my guests have been really hungry for.
I think that's really interesting and something I honestly didn't even think about, but it makes so much sense where you realize that just like in a sports team, in a career and in a company, you're one piece of a whole ecosystem. And so everyone really needs to play their parts and work together in order to reach that one common goal.
Absolutely. And I think there's some, you know, sense of empathy around that too, that if you have a team member who's really struggling, being able to lend a hand in that moment, knowing that, yes, they would do the same thing for you. So kind of that element of teamwork too is something that's rising to the top.
Absolutely. And I can also imagine just kind of thinking about my own experiences would be maybe like discipline or time management, even with when you're in a collegiate career, like a sport career like yourself. I mean, you really have to get good, I imagine, at balancing school and your part-time job that you had and playing softball and all of that stuff. And so I feel like any type of athlete, whether professional or not, definitely is a master of time management skills, with just being able to tie everything together and make sure they hit those deadlines on time.
You're spot on. Time management is another one that's up there for sure, between, when you're in college, managing your class schedule and your practice and workout schedule. And then, what block of time do you have for homework or to socialize? Kind of really mapping out your days strategically, I think serves athletes in the workforce better probably than their peers. I think another one that comes to mind is patience, which is a
Yes.
hard thing for a lot of people to master. I feel it too. But patience with yourself, with your colleagues around you, and with your supervisors as well. I found in my own experience that there are some things that I'm seen as an expert on, and people aren't going to get it right away when I'm explaining it to them. So having that ability
Yeah.
to say, okay, we're going to go through this a little differently. Let me try and reach you in a different way to share my knowledge with you.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, especially because it reminded me of this saying that I once heard, and it's something like, I'm totally butchering this, but something along the lines of like, something may seem super easy to you, a concept might seem super easy to you, and that's because you're an expert in it. But when you try to explain to someone else, they might not necessarily understand it, and that's because they're not an expert in it. And it just kind of goes to show that it can be really important to almost take a step back and kind of remove that bias ultimately, and think about how the information you're relaying might not necessarily be someone's zone of genius, and that's totally okay.
Absolutely. And I think being able to see those differences in one another, but yet still come together and work together toward that common goal says a lot about what type of workplace you have too.
Definitely. And with the podcast, do you see yourself doing anything more with it? Do you see yourself really kind of honing in on that podcast journey, if not turning into something even more that you might offer?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of the podcasters that I admire kind of have this I'm going to call umbrella brand, right? And the podcast is kind of one arm of that, but they're doing other things as well. And it's something I've been thinking about a lot. How can we elevate this to reach more people, but specifically try to reach more youth as well, who may be thinking about, okay, are sports in college for me? And what else am I going to get out of it other than that, 4-year experience? What are kind of the fruits of that labor down the road? And for me, something that rings true is the alumni network that I had at Elms College, where I ended up finishing my career. And the hundreds of women who played softball before me have reached out their hand to me time and again to say, here's this opportunity, Jess. Oh, I mentioned your name in this room, Jess, for this
Oh, I
opportunity.
love that.
So it's so special. And I think, we were lucky to have one coach who coached all of us. So we all had this really tight-knit camaraderie, but that kind of networking element, I think, is something I would love to bring into the podcast a little bit more to provide more opportunity and resources for folks.
I love that. And just as you're speaking, I started thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, I feel like maybe she should host like workshops or conferences for like eighth graders, or when girls might be at that age where they're starting to think about sports down the line and getting scouted and stuff like that. And I just see that that would be like a really powerful move for you to take and just kind of go down that path, and following that educational journey really is what it
Well, Ashley, you are hired. I will bring you on board anytime. But I appreciate
is.
that. I've thought about public speaking as well. I think just like anything, I've gotten better at it over the years. The more you practice, it's really scary sometimes at first, but I do think that there are things I can bring to the table that can help other people. So I'm trying to get over that fear a little bit and kind of lean in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that reminds me of something that I feel like sports has definitely brought to me is confidence. I mean, when you do something, when you break your personal record, or when you finally achieve something, if it's whether doing it's one chin up, which you weren't previously able to do, it's like you just have this unbelievable sense of confidence that comes from it. And it's one of the best feelings ever that I feel like leaves you on a high for the rest of the day, if not the rest of the week. And so I think that that is one of the most amazing things about being a part of some type of activity is just the confidence that you'll build from it, really, that definitely carries on into other parts of your life.
I totally agree. And, you know, that's something we really try and work on back to NWS is that positive self-talk when you're not experiencing success. Like, how are we going to get ourselves back on track here? Because we're our own worst enemies in a lot of ways. You know, I think the things we say to ourselves, we most certainly would not say to a close friend. So that's one of the things we work on most in our lessons is having that self-talk be out loud and me saying to students, okay, what are you thinking right now in this moment? Are you thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to blow this for my team? Or are you thinking, I'm going to throw a strike right now? Yeah. And trying to build in that self-talk as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And on the topic of self-talk and negativity, I think unfortunately, most if not all athletes can relate to the experience of having a bad coach and how that might damper or impact their view on the sport that they feel really passionate about. And so in the coaching that you do and in the work that you do, do you do anything to kind of help your students or help your athletes kind of get past that and almost like unlearn the negative thoughts that they're thinking because of someone else's unfortunate coaching skills or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, that's really hard when somebody's confidence has been diminished in something that they once loved or once were very passionate about. So, you know, when I have folks like that I'm interacting with, I really try and have an open dialogue throughout the whole lesson. Just ask, how is this feeling for you? Does this make sense? Am I relaying this in a way that, you know, is applicable to what you're doing? But knowing that it's not going to be a one-time fix, it's going to take that constant positive reinforcement to kind of build them back up and get them to a space where they're really enjoying it again. Because just like you said earlier, you know, you want to have fun doing the activities that bring you joy. And if you're not having fun, it may be time to step back and kind of reassess, well, okay, what are those triggers that are causing that?
Yeah, and that's such a good point too, is thinking about almost like those subconscious things perhaps that are really influencing your thoughts and your feelings and what you're going through.
Absolutely. Yes.
And one of the things that you had mentioned during the show, shifting gears here a little bit, is that you still work a 9-to-5. And so that like blew my mind where I'm like, oh my gosh, she has a podcast, she has her own company, and she's in a 9-to-5. And so I'd love if you could share more about what your career is in that aspect and how you just juggle it all.
Yeah. I never sleep. No, that's what everyone says, right? But when I graduated college, I was not finding careers in sport that made sense. I think there was this sense of, okay, I need to make some money now. Like I have real people bills, you know, mom and dad aren't paying for things anymore. And so I was lucky enough to find a job at Elms College, actually at my alma mater in alumni relations. And so that was my first step into kind of that alumni engagement and fundraising realm. It had a lot of things I liked. It had the opportunity to make connections with people and to build relationships, which is far and across the thing I love most about any job that I have. Yeah. But it helped me step into that development and more institutional fundraising, which is where I find myself today at Girls Inc. of the Valley. I'm the director of development and communications. So I run all the annual fundraising for the organization and do all of their marketing and communications as well. But I think, you know, fundraising is one of those jobs that you don't hear about at your career fair in high school. It's not, you know, something that's talked about. So when I first got my, you know, alumni relations job, I was like, What is this? Is this going to be like me for a couple of years while I figure some other stuff out? But here I am 8 years later in the development field and raising money for a mission I'm really passionate about and really connected to.
And I also feel like working for Girls Inc. of the Valley and having NWS and your podcast, like all three of those have really close underlying values. And so I can see why you feel really passionate about having that career, because the values that are part of Girls Inc. and the values that are part of what you teach and the connections that you build with other post-collegiate athletes, I think, is just all really tied in closely.
You're absolutely right. They are so interconnected. And I think in a lot of ways, they lend themselves to opportunities for me. It's kind of like this perfect triangle of things popping up that makes sense for me to pursue. And at Girls Inc., our mission is to inspire girls to be strong, smart, and bold, and to really be able to be the bridge to the resources they need to be successful. So I think in a lot of ways that trickles through to the other positions that I have. But this, my position at Girls Inc. is not as hands-on with the youth. So I think that's where the other two roles that I have are kind of feeding that or scratching that itch, to use your phrase there, for me as well, to be able to say, okay, I'm actually getting one-on-one or small group time with youth. And that's where I'm feeling really fulfilled. Certainly, we know organizations need money to go on and to do their mission. And so I really enjoy being able to provide that at Girls Inc. But I do wish I had a little bit more face time with youth, because they're just so cool and so awesome. And anytime you get to meet with them, they're really fun.
And I feel like, even though being at least a decade older than you, sometimes like I'm learning from them. So you they feel like they're learning from you, but in reality, you're like, oh my gosh, like between new TikTok trends, like something as silly as that, but also between like their tenacity and their adversity and just the things that they go through. Like, I feel like I learn stuff from youth like all the time, whether it's someone I'm seeing face to face or just online. And I think that's really magical.
I agree. And, you know, one of the most fun times I've had at Girls Inc. working with youth was for a major fundraiser last spring, where they were getting on stage to tell their stories about their lives and their experience at Girls Inc. And so we were doing some like public speaking training. And again, like, I'm circling back to that theme of vulnerability. These kids are just so open and willing to share and are proud of their roots and I think excited about their futures, that it's so magnetic. When you get community members in the room to hear from them, it just is such a feel-good environment.
Absolutely. And with everything that you do, it kind of reminds me of something someone once said to me once that I feel like totally shifted my whole perspective on like the work-life balance, which is really that there is no such thing as work-life balance. It's just whatever balance feels good to you. So some people might do the 9-to-5 work and then the rest of their time, that's like their play time or off time. But other people might work longer than that and then have shorter breaks, but that's what they really enjoy. And so I think it's important to just find that timeline or that flexibility or that rest period that works for you, and just kind of knowing that you might not have the ideal balanced time scale that everyone else does. But again, it all goes back to what's filling your cup, and that's most important.
Absolutely. And I am getting better at taking vacations from all of the roles. You know, just because we're off from one doesn't mean we should work the other two. So yes. I'm finding, you know, as NWS and the podcast grow, I'm needing to take those pauses a little bit more, whether it's a long weekend or I've really enjoyed doing work retreats, you know, just booking an Airbnb somewhere else in the state and going to a new space to be creative has been really fun.
I have always wanted to do that. And I literally just thought about that again last week. So I'm so happy that you brought that up, because I follow some people on Instagram who do that. Well, they'll either do it by themselves or with like their work best friend, and they'll just book a weekend and just tackle a bunch of stuff internally for their businesses that will help them reach their goals. And I always am so fascinated by it. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite spots to go is the Berkshires in the fall, specifically to like just be on a small lake there in the kind of autumn, you know, cozy vibes as well, and to see all the beautiful foliage. But I find that I don't want a structure while I'm there. I think I want things to just inspire me and to be able to have my notebook and laptop there to capture those items. But after those retreats, I just feel like I feel peace because I've accomplished so much, but in a different setting that's allowed me to think creatively.
Yeah.
So I encourage you, do it, Ashley. It's really worth it.
I definitely need to. It's all just about finding that right opportunity, because I'm like you, I would love to do it in the fall or in the winter when like the snow is falling. Like, that just sounds so peaceful, being able to do that. And like you said, even if it's just here in Massachusetts, just taking the time to get new scenery and be in a new space that will almost force you to think outside of the box and get creative with stuff, I think a lot of really great things can happen.
Absolutely.
Love that. And so as we're talking about all the businesses that you have and all the stuff that you're doing and all the things and initiatives that you support, I'd love to hear what your local favorite businesses are to support.
Yes. So there are so many, but let me just highlight a few. Tandem Bagel. I live in West Springfield, Massachusetts, so I am fortunate to have a Tandem Bagel like 2 seconds away, which is
Oh.
Maybe bad, but also really
You can
good.
never go wrong with bagels. I eat a bagel every day for breakfast, so I'm
I
with
love a good bagel. They have
you.
wonderful special lattes as well. It's a nice little spot. I also love the Plan Hair Studio in Holyoke. They have a really cool kind of old mill building that they work out of right on the
Ooh.
canal. So it's got a really cool vibe over there. And then also in Holyoke, Fame Restaurant is a new space right actually next to the Plan. So perhaps you can get your hair done and then you can go grab a bite to eat. But they do really awesome drag brunches on the weekends too.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Bringing like a lot of culture to that area and a lot of good times.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Jess, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really enjoyed and appreciated the opportunity to learn more about you and share it with our listeners. And now I'd love if you could share where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Absolutely. So you can connect with the podcast, which is the Post Game Amateurs podcast on, oh my gosh, on Facebook and Instagram at Post Game Amateurs Pod. And then NWS is also on Facebook and Instagram at NWS Fast Pitch MA. Girls Inc. of the Valley also on those platforms at Girls Inc. Valley on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Perfect. And I will link to those in the show notes that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for being a guest on today's show.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. This was very fun.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.